Welcome to the Human Performance Podcast. Here we talk about everything to do with human performance and how leaders and organizations can get the best out of themselves and their people. I'm your host, Alex Young. My guest on the podcast this week is Nad Narimani. Nad is an English mixed martial artist and UFC star who started his professional MMA career in 2011. Nad won the Cage Warriors Fighting Championship Featherweight Championship against Paddy Pimblett in April 2017. And with a record of 10-2, he competes in the featherweight division of the UFC. Nad is a lifelong learner and coaches both children and athletes in mixed martial arts to help them get the very best out of themselves. We talk MMA training, what it's like to fight in front of a crowd, and how learning and coaching can change your life. Nad, welcome to the Human Performance Podcast. Great to have you here in person today, which is awesome. It's going to be really fun. I'm just talking about, you know, your backstory and your journey through MMA. And we're obviously both based in Bristol at the moment, so we'll touch on Bristol.
Yeah.
But it'd be great just for, you know, everyone listening to understand a little bit about your background before we get going.
Yeah, cool. My name is Nad Narimani. I've been in Bristol all my life. I've been fighting professionally since 2010. I fought in the UFC, I'm Cage Warriors featherweight champion, and now I'm here, back here in Bristol. I've been bouncing back from California and stuff, training, I'm back in Bristol at the moment. So.
Awesome. Well, I'm like a massive fan of UFC, boxing, any kind of combat sport at all.
Nice.
I mean, I guess for anyone listening who might not know what UFC is or mixed martial arts is, how would you kind of describe that to somebody?
It's a combination of every single martial, boxing, Thai boxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and then it's just putting it all together. You know, some people are stronger grapplers or some people are stronger strikers, but it's just having that blend of everything. So you can do everything, obviously, apart from headbutting and groin strikes and biting and stuff like that, but everything else is pretty much legal, so yeah. That's what MMA is.
And I guess I love watching it, and it's a sport that's kind of, I guess, like, in terms of sports in general, it's probably like a newer sport in terms of Dana White and UFC in particular, like, coming out of Las Vegas. In the US over the last kind of 10-20 years. Mm-hmm. How did you kind of get into it? What was your sort of background?
Really, it's become massive in the last 25 years with the UFC and Dana pushing it and stuff, and then obviously Conor McGregor has come in, and then that's pushed it into the mainstream even more. I got into it from...
How did I get into it?
I feel like, because I just grew... I mean, I'd done taekwondo when I was younger, but I was more into football. And then I got, I was growing up, I was getting a lot of trouble when I was going out downtown. I was fighting all the time. And then from about 15 up to like 19, I was like doing that and partying. And then I sort of, at 19, 20, I sort of just got a bit of focus and started training and running and keep getting fit again. Because I always was fit. I was good, like, cross country and good sport at a lot of sport. And then I started doing Aikido, which is like a real peaceful martial art. Very flowy, and then the guys, the training there, were like, "Oh, I think you're a bit aggressive for this. You should go and train with a guy called Kevin O'Hagan." So I trained with Kevin O'Hagan. He's like an MMA, or he's like a street self defense guy, but he's doing MMA as well. He's trained a lot of MMA guys, and then just from there, then I started training with him, because I've been doing boxing a bit, like with my mates down in the boxing gym, and always mucking around growing up. So I sort of had it in me anyway. I got kicked out of school for fighting. So it was like ironic that I became a fighter. Then just one thing led to another. He said, "Oh, you should have a fight." I had a fight, amateur fight, and then kept winning these amateur fights. And I thought, "Oh, I could do this." And then went professional, and then the rest is history. Yeah.
And this is all in Bristol, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've traveled around training. I trained with a good guy down in Cheltenham here. Mm-hmm. I've traveled all around. I've traveled up to London a few times to train. But yeah, mainly in Bristol, people in Bristol, a lot of different coaches in Bristol. And then I've been out to California quite a lot as well, back and forth, about a few months at a time. Mainly Bristol, California and Cheltenham. Yeah.
And I guess, when you look at like mixed martial arts, like if you watch any professional bouts, like a lot of people are either very good strikers or they're very good like ground and pound.
Yeah.
What was your thing going into it? Was it kind of like the striking because you're boxing or?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of always, in my training regime, I always try to I always tried to be like all-rounded, you know what I mean? I wouldn't try and like focus too much on one thing and neglect one thing. So I'd always try and have a good balance all the way around. So I would say I'm quite all-rounded. I've got a black belt in jiu-jitsu, but I can wrestle, I can box, I can so I like to be as well all-rounded as possible, really. But I mean, yeah, I'd say my boxing and my grappling is probably my strongest point. Yeah. I wouldn't say kicking and stuff. I didn't use it enough. And I wouldn't say that's my strongest point. No.
And I mean, the bit that I always find like fascinating and I was saying to you before we started recording, like I've done a bit of boxing training and stuff in the past, not like sparring, like in detail like you.
Yeah.
But I think like the mental aspect is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
What were some of like, you know, the challenges around like the kind of, you know, just getting over the fear of like getting in and fighting someone?
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, I know that's a big thing. I mean, and it's not like you get over that. It's just you learn to deal with it. So it's you still feel that, but you feel the nerves, but you just learn how to deal with that each time, and you realise that there's not much to really worry about. So you just sort of, you know, you got to get that into your head and then just go out and try and perform, you know.
And I guess, you know, with training, you see huge teams around fighters training them up. How important has that been for you in finding the right coach, finding the right training team when you've been developing yourself?
Yeah, no, that's massive. I mean, I've always tried to seek out each individual coach for each aspect almost. It was, you know, an expert in that field. So I've always had a jiu-jitsu coach. I've always had a wrestling coach, a boxing coach. And then I've had, you know, an MMA coach as well that have covered the whole aspects. But part of it's putting it all together yourself, so you've got your own game, you know. So you put your boxing and your jiu-jitsu and your wrestling all together, and you make your own blend of what you want to do. But I've always seeked out the best coaches in each area, so, and then taken the best bit, and it's a lot of the stuff you've got to neglect because it's just for that sport, so it doesn't necessarily translate into MMA, but you have to sort of filter that out and take what's good and then use that. And yeah.
And I guess, you know, the training itself, you have to do this like a long period of time. You've got to be very dedicated.
Yeah.
How have you like kind of found that, and what kind of keeps you going?
You've got to be very disciplined. Yeah. You've got to be very disciplined. I was training, I'd probably do about 16 sessions in a week, and I'd be training anywhere sort of 4 to 6 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Wow.
Sometimes more. Because, yeah, by the time you had Epson. Sometimes I'd go into the gym in the morning and I was training for like 4.5 hours and I wouldn't even, and then I look at the time, oh shit, I'm here for 4.5 hours. You know, and sometimes, you know, I might have done some sparring in that time, I might have done some pad work, and then I might have done some strength and conditioning, and I just blend and it all in was sort of one session. And then on the night, go away, relax, eat nice food, and then come back and then do like another session. I might be doing like just pure jiu-jitsu on a night time or something like that, so that might be another 2 hours, and then, you know, so it's all a lot of training. When I think about it now, and then lockdown happened and all the gyms shut, and it kind of changed a lot of my habits. So then like I went down to, and I was training, when I think about it, I was probably training like 3 times a week, and I know that's probably more than 90% of the population, but it's like, for me, it just felt like I was doing nothing. I've picked it up again now. I'm probably like back doing about 12 sessions a week and feeling good. But I'm still need to step the intensity up myself.
Well, we'll touch on lockdown in a second, but before we get that, you know, you've done like amazingly well, you know, in terms of your fight record and, you know, how you've kind of won fights with knockouts and a couple of them.
Yeah.
If you look at kind of like the whole UFC setup or mixed martial arts, there's few people that kind of get to the level that you're at. Why do you think that is, and what do you think you've attributed like your success to?
Probably a bit of perseverance. There was a lot of times when I was coming up through, oh, I really want to carry on, do it, like you're getting like, oh, I'm getting to this, but am I going to get to this point? And we just carry on. I don't know, I was just very passionate about it, so I like fighting, and I like the I like the process, I like the training, and I like getting up and then eating good food. Then I feel good throughout the day, and I wake up and I'll go for a run, and then you feel good, and I don't know, I just like that. To be honest, for me, it was just more that feeling, like feeling good, and that sort of pushed me to just keep doing it. And then there was loads of times where I just didn't feel like training, but you still just do it. I don't know. And it's easy, quite easy to, well, I find it quite easy to be disciplined, because in my head, especially when I had a fight, I knew this guy's training to beat me up. So if I don't train and I'm not fit and I'm not ready, then I'm going to get beat up. So it's quite a like motivator, you know, you get a good back. But I just was passionate about it and just always wanted to train. I mean, I had a good support system around me as well. That was what I just focused my mind on, you know, and that was it. Yeah.
And I guess in terms of, you know, the fights themselves, how do they get kind of like mapped out for you? Do you like pick who you're sort of going to be fighting, or is that all kind of?
No. You've got matchmakers that for each organization that will match up fights, and then they'll come to you and say, we've got this opponent. And I mean, I've never turned down anything. I took every, you know, each fight that was given to me. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, you don't get to choose. I mean, you get to choose which organization you fight for.
Yeah.
Apart from, like, you know, UFC, people think to come, you need to get called up, you know what I mean? And not, I suppose, not all, every organization. No, you can't just go and they've got to ask you to come, you know what I mean? But you can fight for anyone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And is that kind of based on like a scouting system with UFC?
Essentially, yeah. Like, you know, like you've had a fight there, they've watched that fight, they're like, oh, yeah, he's okay. Yeah. So, and then the manager might shoot them a message. I did have a manager for a little period, but then he sort of stopped working with me. But then I just did it all myself. I still have been, but just talk directly to the matchmaker.
Okay, awesome. So you've got to be a little bit like kind of like business minded, I guess, as well.
Yeah,
like,
no, of course. Yeah. And definitely.
And I mean, we were saying just as you kind of came in today that you picked up a bit of an injury this morning just from sparring. Like, how big a like part of are injuries kind of in your training? Have you managed to like miss injuries or?
To a certain extent, yeah. But then, no. I mean, I had two surgeries back in 2019 on both my elbows because I had like a lot of bone fragments in there, like where the bone calcifies and then cracked off, and then this floating bits flit around and you get like locking. My arms couldn't straighten. I mean, they're still not perfect, but they're 80% better. I've had rib injuries, broke my nose loads of times. You get a lot of cuts. But yeah, I suppose you just kind of get used to it. So then you kind of get, like when you're doing it all the time, grinding, you just kind of get numb to the... But I was saying now I've picked up the training a bit more and now I'm feeling all the knocks again and I'm like, oh, you know. So, but yeah, you just kind of get used to it, I think.
Amazing. And in terms of like, you know, the fights you've had, are there any like standout ones that you think are like your favourites or you like learn the most from?
I mean, I learned a lot, I think, from a couple of my losses. I had a loss back in 2014 for a Cage Warriors belt. And I felt like I gave my opponent a bit too much respect. I mean, I came on strong later in the rounds, but he won two rounds early on, he had me on at my back a couple of times. But I just gave him too much respect. But then, I just learned from it. And then the next fight after that, I just came in very strong and very sort of just doing what I wanted to do. It was like a mental one, that one. It was like, it was in the mind, you know, like don't just, you know, just go and do what you want to do. Don't think about them so much and what they're going to do and oh, what they're strong at. And, you know, just think about what you're good at and that it doesn't matter that they're good at that anyway, you know. So that was a good learning curve. I think that fight after that was actually one of my favorite fights because I just kind of went in there and just kind of went through the guy in 2 minutes because I had that mindset. And then, you know, yeah.
And what I mean, you know, we talk about kind of like human performance kind of all the time and how people can like better themselves. Like in terms of, you know, that where you're learning from a loss, do you like routinely go back and like watch the replays of your fights?
I used to watch it a lot. I used to watch them a lot more. I haven't actually watched them in a while. I've watched a couple of highlights, but no, I haven't actually. But I did used to watch the movie, yeah, a lot. Especially after the fight, I'd go back over and watch it. Do my wife's head in. Watching that fight again, I'm like, it's like the 100th time you've watched it. I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm just... it's like, you just, I don't know, you become a bit obsessed, you know?
And you, I mean, you mentioned your wife there, you've always got wife, kids and stuff.
Yeah.
How does that kind of plug into like UFC where you're coming back beat up occasionally?
Yeah, I mean, like, they're 9 and 7 now, so... They just kind of used to it as well. But I had one when they were younger and I was quite badly beat up. And I won, but my face looked all smashed up. And then she wasn't there and I came home and then 3 o'clock in the morning, knocked on the door and she kind of opened the door. I was like, what happened to you? I was like, I'm all right. But yeah, no. the kids, they've been to a few fights. Yeah, my boy loves it. So, yeah. No, I like it. I like, you know, that they're involved. And yeah.
And what's, in terms of, yeah, you mentioned going to Sacramento and the US and stuff for training and fighting. What's the biggest venue that you sort of fought in at the moment in terms of like crowd and seats?
I don't know. I mean, O2, I think they had like 20,000 in. I'm not sure exactly the numbers. Hamburg was quite a big arena. Buenos Aires, I don't know how many was in there, but it must have been 12,000 there. Then there was 9,000 up in Liverpool. Varies.
And do you find that, I mean, can you remember like back to like the first time you went into like where there was like actually a big crowd? How did that make you feel?
Yes. The first time was kind of, it's nerve wracking. Well, kind of, yeah, I was just kind of there thinking, why am I here? Like, for a split second, I was like, why am I here? No one forced me, like no one put a gun to my head and told me to get in this cage and fight this bloke. But I done it, and then after I felt great. So then that was the rest, you know, it's one of those.
That was it,
sold it to me, you know, because I got a nice win, you know, straight away, didn't take no damage, I came out buzzing.
That's what I was going to ask you, like what, you know, for you in terms of like the adrenaline rush, is it like, where do you get the most hit from it, do you think, in terms of like your own enjoyment? Is it kind of going to the ring? Is it finishing the fight? Is it winning the fight? What keeps you coming back for more, do you think?
I think it's the winning of the fight. The whole experience, I suppose. I mean, I'm not a great fan of the few days before when you're just in the hotel and you're waiting and you've got to do you're cutting weight, so you're not really eating nice, like a lot of food, and then you weigh in. I mean, and then after you weigh in Friday, then after that, then you're a bit more relaxed because you've done the weigh and you've got that out of the way. Then you can eat sort of not what you want, but a lot more. You feel a lot better, a lot happier. And then, to be honest with you, up until that weighing point, it's pretty shit that those few days. And then after that, it's okay. And then almost on the day as well, I'm a bit like anxious as well, and I just want to get in there. And then once my hands are up, then I'm all right. It's weird. Like once my hands are up, then I feel ready. Up until that point, you just want to get in there and get it done. Yeah.
And do you do anything kind of like mentally, like psych yourself up, or have any like kind of like self-talk, like, you know?
I listen to a lot of stuff, you know, but no, just generally, yeah, just being strong and just knowing, you know what I mean? Just knowing and not thinking about, like I said, again, not thinking about them, just thinking about what I want to do in there when I'm in there, and that basically makes me feel confident, you know, and having, that's another thing that comes back to the training, doing the right training and knowing that you've put in the hours and you've put in the time, you don't have so much of that. You don't have that self-doubt. You don't have those doubt feelings. When you're not prepared, that's when those feelings come in, because you're thinking, oh, I haven't done that, or I haven't done the cardio, or I haven't been sparring a lot. Or then you start thinking, and that's where you start, the doubt starts creeping in. But yeah, as long as you've done the training and you're prepared and you put in 100% of what you can do, you haven't gone, oh, it's raining, I'm not going to go for my run, you know, those little lacks of discipline builds up, and then you start doubting yourself because you haven't done the work.
I think that's so true for like many things, isn't it? It's like,
absolutely.
You know, if you put in the work beforehand, exactly. It's like you put the work in, you're going to be much more confident when it comes to like whatever it is that's happening on the day. Yeah. I mean, you know, for you in like a training camp running up to a fight, what are some of the things that you're sort of, you know, changing for when you're kind of, I guess, in like your off period, like between fights?
Just relaxing. It is a mindset shift, I suppose. I try and be as relaxed as possible, but there is a mindset change, you know. There is like that is a bit of a big sacrifice, I think, with the family as well, because it's hard to enjoy sometimes that family time and stuff when you're so tired and drained from training, and that might be your only day off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On a Saturday, let's say I say, oh, I'm going to take a day off training, I'm going to spend it with the family. But you're knackered from a week's training, and you've got to kind of be focused with, you know what I mean, with the kids and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's hard. It's just getting that right balance. But then I think I'm just probably like stricter on myself. So I was always like that, though. Like, to be honest with you, it's only recently, like, since that lockdown, that I've even relaxed a little bit on my training. I wouldn't never miss a training session, because I think it would be like, I would feel bad. Like, I'd not feel bad, but I'd feel like, they say, like, on a, I don't know, I might have trained earlier in the day, and then I'm going on jiu-jitsu on night time. I'm like, well, I don't really feel like it. But like, yeah, but that one session is that one session. But then when you add that up over the year, if you keep doing that every year, do you know what I mean? It adds up, you know? So I don't know. I've relaxed a little bit about that, but I was very, but that's how I got to where I got to. Because then a lot of people don't do that and then they don't get, do you know what I mean? So you got to, I don't know.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, you know, you mentioned kind of like lockdown there. Yeah. I know like you've had some like visa issues and like UFC and, you know, boxing, everything in general, the world of kind of sport had to shut down.
Yeah.
And obviously no crowds. How did that kind of like affect you?
Yeah. I mean, I fought out in Abu Dhabi last year now in July and there was no crowd. It was really weird. That was another thing I felt. I mean, I didn't fight well anyway, but I didn't feel, there wasn't a lot of urgency when I was in there. I didn't feel honest. I felt kind of like I was just at a training session relaxing and not really going like it was a fight because there was no like shouting and stuff like that. So yeah, there wasn't the same atmosphere. But yeah, so that was the last time I fought. I've had visa issues getting out to the States, not just because of Corona, but just because of my own mistakes and stuff in the past. So yeah, hopefully I'll get that sorted. I mean, the UFC, they hopefully bear me in mind for international shows, but they haven't had a lot of international shows because of Corona.
Yeah.
So that it's just all been a bit of a spanner in the works, but I just keep my head up and keep plodding forward. I'm back training properly, like that. I feel like I'm, do you know what I mean? Getting to a level where I want to be. I've set up a few things, a couple of businesses, like whilst I've had this time away. So, which you don't have the time to do when you're fully focused in fighting,
right?
Because, like I said, if you're training 3-4 times a day, the in between time is just for eating and relaxing and lying down and napping and. I mean, I used to nap all the time. Well, not all the time, but I nap, like, you know, I nap regularly every day, you know, just to keep up with the training, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't do that now. So I don't know, yeah, you've got to find, again, it's finding that right balance of everything, you know, with life.
And if you, you know, maybe like for your children or for like anyone who's like looking to get into like mixed martial arts training or anything like that, like what would be your advice? Like where could they kind of go, especially if they're in somewhere like the UK?
I mean, there's loads of gyms. I mean, but the main thing would just be to be training, you know, each discipline, you know, get the kids training jiu-jitsu, get the kids training wrestling, get the kids training boxing, Thai boxing, and then get them doing an MMA, you know, a couple of MMA sessions as well, so they can bring it all together and then just let them develop. I train a lot of kids privately. They'll do one-to-ones and stuff. So, and then there's Sweatbox. They do, kids, they're good for the kids jiu-jitsu. I mean, it's something I'm looking into is setting up like a kids program, like a, like, you know, that's what I do want to do because I do want and they soak up the information like sponges, kids. So, and I want to, you know, I've got my kids and then other kids that I train, I want to bring them all up. So yeah, it's something I'm looking into as well.
And what do you mean, in terms of like mixed martial arts, if you're like a parent and your kid wants to go and do MMA, like what, you know, they might think, oh, it's super violent, et cetera, et cetera. But what do you think are the real things that kids can like take away from it?
Discipline, not just for the fight in all areas of their life. And perseverance, getting like failing, but then having to, you know, currently, you know, because you've got to learn a technique, but you're almost, you're not, you get a technique wrong, you get a technique wrong, you get a technique, but then you learn, you know, it's like riding a bike, you don't learn, you don't just get on a bike and ride a bike. So I think that teaches them, just become better kids, you know, they lose a bit of the, you know, probably because they're burning the energy. I mean, I've done football when I was younger, but and a bit of taekwondo, but I wish my mum put me in more like boxing and stuff, because it would have probably calmed me down and let off some steam doing that in an actual proper environment.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that as well, just, you know, like if kids are, you know, a lot of kids, I think, that are like a bit, you know, they have concentration problems or they're a bit wild, you know what I mean? I think it can calm them down, balance them. There's so many benefits. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, the striking to the head and stuff like that, parents worry about because of the brain, which is fair enough, you know. But there's so much training you can do where it's not taking shots to the head, you know. So it's not, that's not just all it is, you know what I mean? Obviously, that is a part of it and you develop, do you know what I mean? And it's not, but yeah, there's so many benefits. Yeah, definitely.
And like, you know, for you, like personally, going through this journey of like, you know, picking up, you know, lots of wins, couple of losses, like learning from it, and the whole like, you know, consistency for training. What are some of the things that you can like learnt about yourself that you maybe didn't expect to?
The that I got a lot of heart. I can dig deep, you know, like I can get beat up, and I'm not one of these, I'm one of these people that gets beat up and that'll actually make it worse for you. Do you know what I mean? I'm not one of these people that gets beat up and now I'm going to fold. Whereas some people, they've got to have it their way. Otherwise, they'll melt, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas I'm the other way almost. Like, if you start beating me up a bit, that'll get me turned on to actually, yeah. So, yeah, just that really. Well, no, I mean, not just that, but in terms of, I've learned so much. I couldn't go into it all now, I don't think. But that you can achieve anything. Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's awesome. I mean, I think it's you know, looking at people who go through any kind of like mixed martial arts or anything like that, it's amazing achievement.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, someone like yourself who's come from like, you know, Bristol, which is not like the epicenter of like, let's say like MMA, right?
Of course, yeah.
Whereas in the US there's like a lot more kind of like infrastructure for that. And I guess, you know, if you look at like fighting in the US, the purses are bigger.
Yeah.
What do you think like other countries or other areas can do to kind of like improve that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the UK's come up now a lot. I mean, the thing is, the US, yeah, they've had like a, it's almost because it came a lot of it from Brazil and then moved that through into the US. And then it's obviously come over. And then, I don't know, I suppose, no, the level of the UK's come up. The reason I think as well the US do well, it's because they got a wrestling program through college. So then the wrestling program through college, these kids have been wrestling since 4, and then they're going into MMA at 18, but it's like they've already done 14, 15 years of combat training, really. And wrestling's like one of the best things you can do for MMA, because it's like all your base and everything, and then you can pick up everything around it. And then you've got a good wrestler, and then you put him with jiu-jitsu, like learn a bit of jiu-jitsu. Then he's like, he's almost better than these jiu-jitsu guys because he's got his wrestling base as well. So I think that's why they've done so well, really. And that's why these Russians are doing well now as well, because they're coming again. He's coming up from Sambo, like Khabib and stuff like that, wrestling from such a young age. It's just such a good base to have. And I think that's why they've done well. But the actual level in the UK is really coming up now, and has been for years, to be honest with you. Yeah,
and you mentioned a couple of like big names kind of there in UFC. Are there any people like who are fighting at the moment or who've now retired that you kind of like really look up to or you sort of like modeled yourself on when you were training and fighting?
Yeah, I mean, coming up through, I was like, you know, I'd like to watch a lot of George St. Pierre, and I like a lot of his philosophy and stuff like that about fighting and training and stuff like that and nutrition. Jose Aldo was in my weight class. He was a champion, so I was sort of, you know, watching him and keeping an eye on him. Conor McGregor, you've got to take inspiration from someone like, you know, like that. That's just gone so rapid. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't think many people will be able to emulate that, but you've got to take your hat off to him for that. I might have been a bit of a prick sometimes along the way, but that kind of got him where he was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't really knock it.
Well, I mean, that's like interesting itself, isn't it? Because like, you know, boxing and MMA, you know, specifically people like McGregor, where there's like a big hype around it, and a lot of stuff that he says is deliberately like controversial.
Yeah, of course.
To get the seats and the tickets, right?
Exactly. Yeah, because like any publicity is good publicity, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, so, what are your kind of thoughts on that? Like, as a fighter,
trash talking and all of that. Well, I never really liked it. Like coming up, and I was like an era before that. This era of, and like my coach Ronnie, who's my age, but he's been doing it since he's like 12. He's been fighting pro since he's 17. And he's retired like a couple of years ago now. So he was like one of my main training partners coming up. Cause he was ranked number one in the country when I was just starting 12 years ago. He was like a real high level, but he's still my age. And he's such a quiet, mellow guy and so humble. But then he did get offered from the UFC, but he was in contract in Japan and stuff like that. I feel like because he's so humble and he didn't get the recognition that he really should have got, you know. But, you know, and then someone like Conor is chatting, you know what I mean, loads of shit, and then bang, it's like it's Paddy Pimlet who I thought,
yeah,
he's chatting loads of shit, people like him, he's got this weird haircut, and now everyone's talking about him. So, and that's a lot to do with it. It's a business at the end of the day, so. If you're quiet and humble, you're not selling to, you know, I was quiet. I wasn't, you know, like a loud fighter. So You're not, you've got to be a bit like that to sell tickets, and that's what they like. You know, obviously you've got to be a good fighter as well.
So yeah,
it's weighing it all up again. You know, like you've got to have it, be able to back it with your fighting.
Yeah, 100%. It's really interesting looking, you know, back at UFC kind of now, where they're back almost to their normal schedule in some places. And there's lots and lots of kind of like main events kind of happening.
Yeah.
Are there anything, you know, kind of rivalries or fights coming up that you're particularly excited about?
No. I mean, I don't, I'm not overly invested in, like, I don't really, like, I like watching the fights. If there's a fight just come up and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll watch that. But I'm not like, oh, I'm waiting for, excited about that fight. Like, a lot of people go, oh, you have this fight. I'm like, man, I don't even know what fight's on. Like, I don't really, like, I'm not like a follower as such, you know what I mean? Like, I like the fighting, and I like watching the fights, you know what I mean? If there's a big fight on and stuff, but I'm not like I wouldn't know, like, oh, what date this is happening or what date that's happening.
Well, that was going to be my question, is like, how much of it is kind of like work? And I guess you probably kind of answered that a little bit by saying, you know, you're not watching like all the fights.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
Do you find like watching some of the fights is like...
Like kind of work?
Yeah.
That I'm watching. No, not really. I still, because to be honest with you, although it is work, it's never really felt like work. Although I knew the work I'm putting in every day in, day out is really the work, it didn't ever feel like work. So, I that's why I've been lucky from 20 years old, like 21, 20, 21. Yeah, just to be able to sort of, I was caught up in coaching as well, doing private one-to-ones and stuff like that to maintain. But still a nice sort of just a nice life of just training and doing what I want, really.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think, like, you know, when you're enjoying doing what you're doing, you can't really ask much more, right?
No, exactly. Yeah.
And how do you find, like, you mentioned a couple of times like coaching other people and kids and stuff like that. Like, how do you find, you know, becoming like a teacher, basically? Was that something that you always wanted to do, or was it something that kind of just happened?
I kind of always liked sharing like what I was learning with people. I like sharing my knowledge. So I feel like I'm quite a good teacher. I can break things down very well, and I'm particular with details. So I'll break each part down or each detail down so someone gets it. I don't just let someone do a technique and it's not right. And, you know, each part has to be right. Each little small part, the little details to make the whole picture right, you know? And so I feel like that's why I'm quite a good coach. In all areas, I'm like that as well. Like, I'm very picky with my, like, when I'm doing pads with people, I'll be very picky about how their form is and where their body positioning is, because I've been taught by people that are like that. So you just pass that down to the next, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, and do you find that particularly like rewarding, teaching other people?
Yeah, no, I do. I do like teaching other people, definitely. Yeah, yeah, it is good. Yeah, I always, yeah. A lot of times I prefer that than my own training. So, yeah. But no, I like doing all of it. It's just, it's the variety as well. That's another thing that I like about MMA is if ever you're training, you're wrestling that day, but then you're like, oh, but the next day you're doing some boxing, let's say. So you get a little gap between, it's not like you're doing wrestling or boxing. You know, there's a blend of what you're doing. So you get a variety. It's like, variety is the spice of life, isn't it?
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah. I mean, like, yeah, in terms of like you from now getting back into training, have you got any kind of fights on the horizon, or what are your plans to kind of like rest of this year and 2020?
Yeah, I just want to get back on my training regime, and I'm hopefully looking for a fight. I mean, it would be nice before the end of the year. But listen, I'm just going to say I've been training down in Wales, sparring and stuff like that with some good guys down there. So once I start feeling in, again, it's the mind, you know, because I feel like if I booked a fight now, would I feel ready if I haven't been really fully, you know? So now I just want to get back in my schedule and then see where it goes.
No, that's awesome, man. Yeah. I guess, have you got any, like, you know, beyond the fights, is there anything you like really like to kind of achieve, like in the remainder of your kind of like fighting career?
I've always wanted to be in a pay-per-view, you know, on the UFC. That was like my main, thing that I wanted to achieve, you know, and get to the UFC belt, you know what I mean? So that was always what I sort of set myself to get to the UFC, like, as a goal. And then you get to UFC, you're like, okay, so you always got to set another goal, haven't you? So then it was get a pay-per-view fight, you fight for the belt. So Yeah, I mean, that if I could get back in the UFC right now and then and fight for a pay, get a pay-per-view fight for the belt, etc., that'd be great. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, just as we kind of start to kind of wrap up this podcast, the thing we kind of ask everyone is, you know, do you have a particular kind of, we call them human performance heroes, but like anyone who's been like a hero to you, who's kind of like really influenced you, you know, particularly on days when, as you said, you know, you maybe don't feel like getting into train.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that kind of springs to mind there? Celebrity, family member, anyone?
I've listened to a lot of good people that are like, you know, involved in that inspirational side, you know, Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, and all these kind of people. And I listen to those people and they talk about habits and discipline and that pushes me quite a lot, actually. I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's what I do. You know what I mean? And then just, you realize that you've programmed you've programmed yourself that that's what you do. You know what I mean? So I think those people have helped me quite a lot. I've listened to those last, probably since about like 2016, I started listening to this kind of thing when I was out running and stuff like that. And I find it quite motivational and helps, you know what I mean? Helps push through.
Yeah, that's super interesting because, like, you know, those kind of like, you know, personal development, like gurus.
Personal development, exactly.
That's a big component to everything. So it's really interesting, like, hearing you talk about that. Sports and in particular.
No, definitely. It is really helpful. I mean, I try and do that quite regularly, that sort of stuff quite regularly, or new stuff, learning new stuff, you know. So I'm always trying to learn something, you know. I spent a lot of years learning fighting and I'm still learning other stuff as well, but the main focus was fighting, but I'm learning other stuff as well. And yeah, it's nice.
Awesome. No, that's amazing. Well, you know, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you today. And if anyone wants to kind of like reach out to you for any like training or anything like that, where's the best place?
Best place probably on my Instagram at Nad Narimani. Just fire me a message if you want to train or any tips on training or nutrition and conditioning, whatever you want, weight loss. That's a big part of it as well, is, you know, maintaining your strength and staying in a weight class. So if you're interested in anything like that, then hit me up.
Amazing. Awesome. That's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
All right, brilliant, Alex. Thank you.